Let me ask you this morning to turn to Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus chapter 16. And while you're marking that place, you can also mark Hebrews chapter 2. Now, we're dealing with the Day of Atonement. We're looking at types of the Lord Jesus Christ through the Old Testament. And we're dealing with the Day of Atonement. We're taking our time as we go through this. Last time we saw how that the high priest is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, our high priest. And today we're focusing on the offerings. But we're going to consider one verse and focus on two words. And these words are of and for. Of and for. Leviticus 16, verse 5. Now, this is the instruction from the Lord God through Moses to Aaron the high priest on what he is to do in bringing the offerings and what offerings he is to bring. It says in verse 5, "And he, the high priest, shall take of," there's the word, "he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats. For," here's second word, "for a sin offering. And one ram," this one is also taken of the congregation of the children of Israel. We see here, "for a burnt offering." Now, both of these goats were for a sin offering. One of the goats was killed, and his blood made atonement for the sins of the people of Israel, the children of Israel. The other goat had the sin of the children of Israel laid upon it, and he bore their sin away into the wilderness, into the land of separation. Both were but one offering. Both were an illustration of the one offering of Christ Jesus the Lord, whereby he perfected forever his people. Sin demanded death, and he died the sin, he died the death of everyone that he represented. He died for them. And he bore the sin of his people away so that it'll never be brought up again, never be remembered again. It'd be unjust for God to charge his people with sin when Christ bore the judgment. Now, we know this simply from just our courts of law. If a man has been proven innocent in a court of law, you can't bring that man back in and charge him with that same crime again. You just can't. It's double jeopardy. He's been proven innocent. And so it is when Christ was judged of the Father and he bore away the sin of his people. He made reconciliation of God through his own blood, life's in the blood, that he satisfied God for his people. Now, it's unjust. For everybody that Christ represented, he satisfied God. So it would be unjust for God to punish them again. They can't be punished. And they won't be. They can't and they won't. Now, the burnt offering was just what it sounds like. The offering was brought and it was burnt completely. And that smoke ascended up. And this was typical of Christ Jesus, who, when he bore the fire of God's wrath, it came up to God. He offered himself through the eternal Spirit, and it came up to God a sweet-smelling sacrifice, a sacrifice accepted of God. God's pleased. Now, between what Christ did and where his people are in their death and trespasses and ignorance and depravity, between that, God has to do something for them to bring them to see. It's all been done. God did it all in Christ. And he does that through the Spirit, through the gospel. That's why we're here today. That's why I was sent here with you, for you, with a message from God, is to give this call to everybody here. And God's going to apply it to everyone that he's loved from the beginning. He's going to apply it. Now, our focus today is going to be the two goats and the one ram that were taken of or from among the congregation of the children of Israel. They were offered for the children of Israel to make atonement for their sin. The offering was taken of that congregation only. Now you listen to me. There were Gentile nations all around the nation of Israel. Do you think they had goats amongst them? They had plenty of goats that could have been taken, but it wasn't taken from them. It was taken, these two goats were taken of the children of Israel from amongst their midst. Well, and it was offered only for the children of Israel. There was folks living all over the world in that day and time. But this offering was made for the children of Israel. Now here's what I want you to get from this study this morning. This is as far as we're going in here. This is what I want you to get. The sin offering being taken of the children of Israel and offered only for the children of Israel declares the oneness between God and His children of promise in Christ Jesus. That's what I want you to see. Because it was taken of the children of Israel, for the children of Israel, we see the oneness of God for His children of promise, with His children of promise in Christ. That's what I want you to see now. All right. This congregation here is called the congregation of the children of Israel. And this, everything the Lord's doing here is, you know, when you're teaching your children at home, when they were young, or even some now perhaps, sometimes you just draw a picture and say, let me show you this. I can illustrate this for you with a picture. Picture's worth 1,000 words. I can show you this in a picture better than I can explain it to you. Well, everything that God did under the old Mosaic covenant, literally through a man that He made a high priest, and using some goats, and using some these ram, and using these things, was God drawing a picture for His little children and showing us this is what Christ Jesus the Lord has done. That's what Hebrews 10 says. The law was a shadow, a picture, a type of good things to come. They've come now. And now Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. It's all been accomplished in Him. All right, now, this was typical. I said all that to tell you this. This congregation of Israel is typical of who Christ did this work for. The congregation of the children of Israel. God's household is a family. This is not foreign throughout the Word of God at all. God is the Father. The Son of God is God's Son. All the children of promise are God's children. He's our Father. The Son is our elder brother. In the flesh, He's our everlasting Father. For what He does to it through us being the last Adam, He's the everlasting Father. And we're brothers and sisters one of another. Us who believe and trust the Lord have been called by His grace. So, the Lord Jesus, when He came in the flesh, He is the firstborn Son. You know, the eldest Son gets the preeminence. He's the firstborn Son. He gets the preeminence. And He is all, the glory goes to Him. The glory goes to Him. And when Abraham was called, way back in the beginning, they're called the children of Israel. Now let me bear this out for you. Abraham was called first. He's called the father of all who believe. That's what the Scriptures call him. Abraham, God called him when he was down in the land of idolatry. He was a Gentile. There was, at that time, there wasn't a Jew and Gentile didn't exist. God hadn't said, that line of distinction hadn't been drawn by God. He was a Gentile. He was called by God. And God promised Abraham a seed. He said to him, in thy seed, that word means son, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That's what he said. In Galatians 3:16, Paul, speaking through the Spirit of God, God tells us what he meant when he told Abraham that, and what Abraham understood him to mean. Paul said, now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises of God made. And he said, not to seeds as of many. This promise was made to Abraham and his seed. He said, not to seeds as of many, but Christ. That seed is Christ. That's who he was talking about. Because from Abraham, if you just take out all the children that came after Abraham, and you have Christ, that's what God was saying. Abraham, through your lineage, the Messiah is going to be born. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming to this earth. He's the Son. And in Him, I have children of promise from all the nations in the world. And I'm going to call them out, and I'm going to make them to see that they've been fully blessed, justified, satisfaction has been made for them in Christ Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Abraham, the Son of David, the Son of Solomon, the Son who came through that tribe of Judah. He said, I'm going to do this. And all those children he promised Abraham, he said, you look up at the stars, Abraham, can you count them? He said, I can't. He said, that's the number of children you're going to have. You're not going to be able to number them. And he was talking about children of promise. Children of promise. And you remember Abraham, we're told in Scripture, had two children. He had Isaac and he had Ishmael. But Ishmael was the product of his own making. He got tired of waiting on God to give him Isaac. And so he went with his handmaid and he had a son with her because Sarah didn't think she could have one. And God said, this is not the promised son. He said, Isaac is. And he sent Ishmael away. Remember, from Isaac came Jacob. He's who Israel is here, the children of Israel. From Isaac came Jacob. Jacob had a twin brother born in the womb at the same, conceived in the womb at the same time, named Esau. And God said before they were ever born, He said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. And even among the Gentiles, these children of promise that God promised Abraham would be born, even these children of promise from among the Gentiles, they wouldn't be the considered Jews by the Jews, that were the children that were born from Abraham. They too, those elect chosen children from among the Gentiles, are children of promise. They're the children of promise. This is, I want you to see this. Romans 9, chapter 8. And I'm, stay with me now on this. He was of the children for the children. Now I want you to see something here in Romans chapter 9. And I'll try to bring all this together for you here in just a moment. But I want you to see this. Romans chapter 9. Look down at verse 8. Well, let me read 7 and 8 together. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. Abraham had a bunch of children. This I try to show you. Ishmael and Isaac. They were both children. But because they are the seed of Abraham, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, now here's the meaning, they which are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed, counted for the children of the promise. This is, salvation is by promise. Salvation is by grace. Look down at verse 18 in that same chapter. Therefore, this is what we conclude from everything Paul has said up to that point. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. You see, if God's going to save one of these children of promise, the first thing He's going to make them to see is they're responsible. This was Greg's outline last night. Responsibility, they're responsible. He's going to make you see you're absolutely responsible to believe on Him. This is the work of grace He's going to work. Responsible. It'd be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than it will be for you that have heard this gospel today and not believed on it. Inability. Responsibility. You're responsible. Second thing is inability. He's going to make you see you're unable to do what He said you are responsible to do. that you know that exists in our day and time. This was the illustration Greg gave last night. There's a bunch of folks living right now in this sad economy we live in that are responsible to pay the debts they owe. Do they have the ability? Does that just take them away from their responsibility? Responsibility doesn't mean you have the ability. God makes you to see that. And in the text he preached from, Matthew 11? In the text he preached from, then he said, then at the same time, you know what the Christ said? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You know when you're going to be burdened and heavy laden? When he makes you see you're responsible. And when he makes you see you have no ability. And then he bids you, now come. I'll do all the work. I take all the burden. Then you'll come. But see, men will say, well, why does he find fault? Who's resisted his will? It's up to him to have mercy. That's what the natural man will say. Paul said here in Romans 9:20, nay, but O man, who art thou that replies against God? Who are you? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? You going to question God? Well, I have a right to hell, a right to eternal separation. That's the right you got because you sinned in Adam and you was conceived in sin and you came forth from your mother's womb speaking lies and you forfeited all your rights. You got none. So God can do with you whatever he wants to. And when he speaks into your heart and makes you to know that, he's already had mercy on you. And he makes you to see your responsibility and your inability, and then he says, now come. Trust me. And you will. You'll throw all the burden on him and fall into his arms and say, Lord, trust in you. Trust in you. Now, this is what he said in Galatians 3, verse 7. If you want to turn there with me, Galatians 3, 7. Knowing then that the children of the promise are counted for the seed, that this is by God's choosing, know ye therefore, Galatians 3, 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. You mean everybody that's been called and born of the Spirit of God and given faith are the children of Abraham? Look down at verse 28. There's neither Jew nor Greek. The only way racism is going to cease to exist is when you're called into Christ by God. Then it won't matter to you whether it's Jew or Greek. Neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to, what's that last word? The promise. It's all about promise. Now, turn to Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2. Now, what is it? I got to make sense of all of this for you while I'm telling you all this stuff. What do we learn in our text? God took the one who would make satisfaction for the sins of the children of Israel, of the children of promise, and he took him from among the children of promise. Why is that important to know? Let's see it. Hebrews 2, verse 11. Hebrews 2, verse 11. Let's begin in verse 10. For it became him, became his honor, his glory, his holiness, his very character, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, it became him to do this in this way, to make the captain of their salvation perfect, through sufferings, to consecrate him as the way through the death of the cross. Now watch this next line. For both he that sanctifieth, that's Christ, and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause? Because they're all of one. For this cause, he's not ashamed to call them brethren. You see, the reason men won't preach this gospel and lay hold of this Christ that I'm speaking to you is they are ashamed of him, ashamed of this gospel. But what you need to find out is God's got to make it so that He's not ashamed of you. That's the problem. Well, because He came and He's one, and these children of promise are all of one promise, all of one Father, all of one Lord, all of one work of grace wrought by Christ, all of one calling of the Spirit, all of one faith, all of one baptism, because He's done all the work, and it's all of one that sanctified them, He's not ashamed to call them His brethren. Now look, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church while I sing praise unto thee. That's what the Lord was showing with that those lambs that was taken of the children for the children. Christ the Lamb, Christ the sin offering, declaring the name of God in the midst of the church, in the midst of His household, in the midst of His congregation, the children of promise. And again, I will put my trust in Him. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church, will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in Him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also likewise took part of the same. That's what we're seeing in that those that sin offering and that burnt offering being taken of the children. Because the children of promise were flesh and blood, Christ came and took part of the same. He took part of the same. It wasn't possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. God was never satisfied with that. It was a picture. It was a shadow to show us what Christ would do. But the Lord said, but a body He prepared me, and I came in that body through the lineage of Abraham, just like He ordered it, ordered and sure from the beginning. I like order. I like things to be sure because I need that. And I need God to order me. And I need it to be sure because it's not in me. I don't have any stability or any order in me. I'm learning to follow Him a little bit, but I need it. I need some order from Him. This is the one thing that's ordered and sure. It has been. He told the end from the beginning. He told Abraham way back there, this is how it's going to be. And He came in that body because what the law couldn't do in that it was weak through the flesh. We couldn't satisfy God because we were sinners already. He gave the law to show the impossibility of us pleasing Him. And if we latch on to anything we've done, and don't just think it's looking at the Ten Commandments. It's if I told you to come to Christ without telling you, God has to do a work of grace in your heart and draw you by His grace to Him, you'll make a work and a law out of coming to Christ. You'll trust that. But that law was weak through the flesh, but God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He was of the children of promise, for the children of promise. Sending His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. He did it. And that the righteousness of the law, that the law may look to those that He died for and say, fulfilled. Fulfilled. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh. That means we're not looking to ourselves, to anything that we've done, to anything before or after conversion, but we're walking after the Spirit. We're under the rule of the Spirit of God, led of Him, serving Him and worshiping Him in spirit and in truth, and no more in the letter. We're not trying to find life. It's something in this book that will tell us what we can do. We see what's been done, and we follow Him. Now, go on reading there. You still there in Hebrews chapter 2? He took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You need to be looking in your Bible at these words with me. That through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily, when God says verily, He means listen to this right here now. He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him, what? The seed of Abraham. the children of promise. He was of the promised children, for the promised children. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Now look over at Hebrews 3, verse 6 right there. Now, what's Christ? What's this glory of Christ? What does God say about Him? Christ is a son over His own house. Isn't that what we're talking about? This household, how we brought into unity. God and His people are brought into unity in this household. A father and the children are brought by the elder brother as a son over his own house, to whom this whole work was entrusted to him by God, who trusted in him first before anybody else did, his father, to bring this work to pass. And all of this unity is because in all points he was made like us and he died for us. Now look over, and it says here, whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Have you grabbed hold of this confidence? Is Christ your confidence? Have you started rejoicing in this hope that it's done? If we hold fast this confidence and this rejoicing unto the end. If you've begun, hold fast. Now, where is that confidence? I want you to see this too. Ephesians 1. I know you're very familiar with this, but every time I read it, I see something I delight in even more. And with this text and what we're looking at here, I'm telling you that because He was in all points made one with us, He that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all of one. He's made us one. Now, where's this confidence and where's this rejoicing? It's all in this one. Now, look with me. I want to read about 11 verses to you. Ephesians 1, and look at verse 2. Grace, he's speaking, let's begin in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. He's writing to people who have already experienced this grace of God and have latched on to this confidence and are rejoicing in this hope and holding fast to it. And he says, now, let me tell you how you got this way. And this is my gospel to you, what I'm constantly preaching to you. Now, let me show you what our confidence and our hope is. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Look at this next word. In Christ. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. He is the Beloved. And it's love for God to put us in the Beloved. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. We talk about children. How are these children of promise brought into this union with God, this offended God? He predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. It's in Him. To Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted. Whereat? In the Beloved. In this one. Verse 7. In whom? It's all in Him. In whom we have redemption through His blood. Because He came of us and He died for those God gave Him. Redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, and having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed, this wisdom, this abounding, this mystery of His will, He purposed where? In Himself. In Himself. Now look, verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things, where? in Christ. Both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even, he says it again, in Him. Well, we're not through yet. Verse 11. In whom? It's still in Christ. In whom also we've obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted. Where did God the Father first trust? Who did He first trust? In Christ. In Christ. In whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth. After you heard this word of truth. The gospel of your salvation. Where is this word of truth? Where is this gospel of salvation? In whom? In whom also after that you believed you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed where? In Christ. And this is this Spirit of promise. This is where we get the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope. It's the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. You know, if you choose somebody and you trust them and they fulfill the work that you've trusted them with and you delight in what they've done and accomplished and somebody comes along and they don't trust in them, in the one you trusted in, but they try to add to the work, say, no, it's not finished. You're not very happy with them, are you? I was thinking, that doctor that Sister Lynn's got an eye problem. She's going to see a doctor today. When he does this work that he does on her eye, and he makes her to where she can see, Lord willing, to where she can see again, and the work is finished, and the work is done, that doctor's not going to be very happy if Brother Jaime calls him up and says, I don't think it's finished. I got something else I'm going to do. No. And Lynn's not going to be very happy either because she trusted in that position. Well, God's people and God the Father have trusted in one, Christ the Lord. And they're neither one going to bear with anybody that don't trust Him. They're not going to be turned away from trusting Him themselves. Now, in time, in Adam, in our flesh, in our sin, all these children of promise were separated from God. But this is the vital issue. This is the vital good news. This is the heart of our gospel. It's this. God put His children of promise in Christ before the world began. We didn't choose Him. He chose us. And because the children were flesh, Christ took part of the same. And He fulfilled the law His children couldn't fulfill. He went to the cross and He answered to the penalty of it. I don't like it when I hear men say that Christ didn't. The righteousness of Christ is not in that He obeyed the precepts of the law. Psalm 22, I don't say you can read Psalm 22, and behold him justifying God with His lips and saying, God, You're just to forsake me, and not see faithfulness and holiness that the very law demands. The active precept of the law that it demands. And he declared God just. He said, You blessed all the children, all the Father, You blessed them all, but I'm a worm and no man. He justified the Father, and yet He continued to pray to Him, even though the Father would not answer Him, and even though there was none to help among the children of men, He was all by Himself, and He never, ever once turned away from trusting the Father, even unto His last breath, when He said, Father, into Thy hands commend I my spirit. And he gave up the ghost, trusting God to raise him from the dead. Let me tell you something. That's what the law demands of you and me. That's the holiness and faithfulness it demands of you and me. And as he was answering the penalty of that law and dying to put away our sins, he was actively fulfilling faithfully in all holiness the precepts of that law at the same time. At the very same time. So don't talk to me that he didn't obey the precept and the penalty. He did both. He's the Lord our righteousness. And that's our hope. And when the Spirit of Christ enters, the Holy Spirit, and He reveals this, He makes us to behold this. By what He did, I'm at one with God. That's what I need. That's what you need. That's what you need. The burden will be gone if you find out you're at one with God. Then you'll serve God. Then you'll be merciful to brethren, merciful to sinners, because now you know how able God is. That's right. This is not the minor point of our gospel, that Christ elected the people, that He died for a particular people, that He was of that people and for that people. This is not a minor issue. This is the issue. It's the issue. And no matter the measure of grace that's given to the believer, every believer hears this one voice. And he follows one voice. And a stranger he won't follow, because he teaches us this gospel in his heart. And because we've been born again, every born again child of promise knows we're fully accepted in the beloved. No matter what grave clothes we may have of any other thing, we know this. He died and he's the successful Savior. And I'm fully accepted of God in Him. There's nothing else for me to do. Nothing else for me to do. And that only through Christ will each of these children of promise be born unto Him and be brought into this oneness with God, and they all shall. And we know that. And because we've experienced it, even though we come in contact with sinners who are unregenerate, maybe they're religious, whatever it is, when you don't hear Christ in the voice, you don't hear Christ in what they're setting forth, when it's not in accordance with His Word, because you know it and have been taught it, you still deal mercifully with them, and you still set forth the truth of this gospel in meekness and lowliness of heart, showing them the truth of the Scriptures. Well, I don't believe that. Fire all the darts you want to. Chop away all you want to. I've got the helmet of salvation. I've got the shield of faith. I've got the armor of righteousness. I can wield off all the darts. I will bear everything you want to hurl at me. But I'm going to keep on dealing with you in mercy and telling you this truth, because I've experienced this and I know God's able. And when it comes to brethren who all still have grave clothes on us from our old dead flesh, and we justify ourselves for the silliest, most ignorant things, for not following faithfully after God, for turning away from Him, for letting anything and everything come between us and God. And yet, because we know these grave clothes ourselves, and we know what it is to be in this body of death, and we know that our God is able, even so with our brothers and sisters in Christ, we keep on using this one word of Christ the Lord. And somebody, if there's any of you that have faithfully come here and you say, well, you know, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Well, hurl the darts. That's okay. I'm just going to keep on telling you this. And I trust he'll make it clear. That's all I can do. I think back on my immaturity when the Lord first called me by His grace. And I think of how I would just go times without being in the services. I would use all kinds of silly things to justify my rebellion. I just wasn't committed. I believed the Lord. I trusted Him. I delighted in His Word. I was reading His Word, but I wasn't. I just had all kinds of problems and plagued with all kinds of problems. And I think back on that, and I'm so thankful that my pastor dealt with me the way he did. He just kept on faithfully preaching this one message. When I was with him, together alone, traveling someplace or talking on the phone, he kept reminding me of this one message. And over time, God grew me in the measure of grace in His time, and He's still growing me. And it still happened this very same way. That's everything practical that's taught in the epistles, brethren. It's this. It's don't be turned away from this message. Don't be distracted, and don't be a distraction. You know, I got to make this one point, and then I'm gonna close. But the Pharisees, I've gone over here. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were kinsmen according to the flesh with Paul. They had the same scriptures as Paul did. They used the same name of the Lord coming off their lips and their tongue, just as Paul did. But they would not receive Paul, promote Paul, join with Paul, have anything to do with Paul, because only the Spirit of God and the Word of Truth can create this mystic, sweet communion between His people. Politics can't do it. Friendships can't do it. Business alliances can't do it. Nothing can do it but the Spirit of God. But wherever this voice is heard, everybody who heard Paul preach, whom God worked in their heart, when they were in the midst of folks who were saying, nope, 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 they took off following Paul and said, yes, 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 yes. And God does that. I know He does that. So if there's a problem between folks in this world, I don't know all the brethren in this world, but those that I know and those that you know, if you have spiritual ears, you can hear and you know the voice. You hear the voice of the Lord speaking. And if you don't, you know there's a problem. The difference is you'll receive them to sit and hear this gospel preached so God can do a work for them. But they're not going to, unless they're not going to receive you. They're going to part from you just like the Pharisees and the Sadducees did, just like men have done from, just like Cain did from Abel. That's just how it is in this world. That's grace 101. That's just how it is. Because they're going to major on the minor. And the truth is, they're ashamed of the gospel of Christ Jesus. It's a man who won't set it forth clearly. He's ashamed of it. Ashamed of it. You candy coat it all you want to. That's the end of it. Ashamed of it. I get calls sometimes from strangers. I've been corresponding with somebody in Australia. I've never seen them. They've never seen me. Never seen me. But the comments and the correspondence back and forth and the delight of our hearts and the unity of our hearts is this gospel I'm declaring to you right now. It's Christ who was of the children and died for the children to whom we're looking and coming and trusting. That's the unity. That's the unity. I didn't do anything to create it. They didn't do anything to create it. God did everything and created it. And it's there. It's just there. We being many are one body in Christ and every one member of another. Paul said, therefore, because I'm the prisoner of the Lord, he said, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. That's what I'm talking about. Because you know He's able. You've experienced it. That gives you boldness to say the truth. And it gives you boldness to be merciful and long-suffering and meek. This is what it is. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Because there's one body. There's one Spirit. Even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord. One faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Everyone that believes. And you know what all this is because of? Those two little words. Of and for. Of and for. And all the glory is because He was taken of the children of promise. And He died and reconciled the children of promise to God. He shed His blood for them. Of and for. Amen.